I'm going to ask Erica to release a word over the house right now. Come on up, Erica.
So this morning, as I was listening to the worship team practice, the Lord just started giving me a download for this church and for this body. And the first thing I heard was Isaiah 61, and that this is a place of restoration. And he just started listing everything out to me. He said, this is a place where the brokenhearted are going to be healed. This is a place where the captives are going to have liberty, and there's going to be freedom to the prisoners, where people are going to have joy for mourning and praise for heaviness and beauty for ashes. And it reminded me of this song by Amanda Cook, and it's called Bitter and Sweet. And she says, you turn the bitter into sweet and the winter into spring. And this is just a place of radical transformation. And I saw a vision of people, just tons of people coming into this place, but they were all gray. Like, I don't know how to explain it. They were just gray. And as they came in, they got lit up and they became a light. And I just feel like that's exactly what's happening. Like, people have come in wounded and hurt and, you know, just gone through the traumas of life, and they come in and they get restored. And they come in and they get hope, and they come in and they get their identity, their true identity. And instead of, you know, so many people when they start to feel security, when they start to feel comfort, they want to stay there. They want to stay in that place. But it wasn't so with this vision. It was like a revolving door, and it was very fast. So these people were coming in, and it went from gray to light, and then they went back out. And it was almost like a stadium, you know, where someone lights the first lighter and then the whole stadium lights up. And I saw that happening to your city because of this place. And so as each one of you goes out, you are continuing to like light up this city like a stadium, and far beyond, where every light's going to come on, where the fires are going to be fanned into flame. And so I just want you to know that each one of you carries so much more influence than you realize. And I do believe, like, I love the prophetic and I love words of knowledge, but I also want you to know, if those aren't things that you're comfortable moving in yet, which you will, just being who you are is enough. Being who you are in the workplace, at home, with your family, with your friends, you carry influence now. You don't need to get to a certain point before you think that you can have influence, because the great influencer, the great Lord Jesus, lives in you now. And I remember having a conversation with somebody. He was in the music industry and he traveled all around. And I so badly wanted to give him a word of knowledge or a prophetic word, and I did it. And I felt kind of like I missed it, like a failure. And I run into him 9 months later again in a different city. And he said, I always wondered if I'd see you again, because that was the most impactful conversation I'd ever had. And so I want you to know that no matter what you're doing, you are sharing Christ. And you are just, you're living letters and you're great expressions of the one who lives in you. And so I just bless you.
What I'm going to ask Erica to do right now is, if you just get into position to receive, and I want you just to declare and decree something over this.
Yeah, God, I just thank you for a breakthrough in the way that each person here sees themselves. I pray for a breakthrough that they would begin to see themselves exactly the way that you see them, Lord. That they would walk out of here knowing that they are influencing their children, their friends, their family, their business, the people in the stores, wherever they go, God. I just thank you that they get to walk in the favor of you, Lord. They walk daily in your favor. They walk daily in your light. So God, I just decree a radical transformation of thinking in this place. God, that where the enemy has tried to speak lies about who we are, that those would just be immediately silenced and cut off in Jesus' name, and that your truth would flood in, God. That they would be able to so quickly to discern the voice of the enemy and shut it down, that they would only listen to you, Lord. Only listen to what you say about them and what you say about others. Amen.
Give him praise in the house one more time. Come on. Yes. So good, so good, so good. I'll just tell you, I'm starting to really understand. There's men of God who I've looked up to who have had friendships for years, and they get to minister with their friends and stuff like that. And that's always been a desire in my heart. And so I feel like we do that here in the house, but there's a connecting to the larger body of Christ. And in the last couple of years, God just began to develop this friendship. And we have there's more to it that's going to be developed. I know that. But I really do believe that I get to minister with my friend. That Chuck is an amazing man of God. He's got such an anointing on his life. He has such a compassion for people. I think he really reflects the heart of the Father in a way that is so pure and authentic. And it really causes me to want to be around him more, because I feel like I get just another flavor of who the Father is through him. And so I'm excited to be able to bring him up here and just let him go. I said, let her rip. Whatever you want, wherever the Lord's going, go for it. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to bring up Chuck and turn him loose. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. I just thank you that everything you've already done, Lord, is really, really good. And I thank you that there's more. I thank you that the day is not over yet, that you have even greater things planned for us. And so I pray, Lord, that just receptive hearts, that you'd open our ears, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes to every single thing that you want to do in and through us. And we declare this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So why don't y'all stand up and welcome Chuck. Was this to show some honor? It's hot.
Good morning. You guys doing well? Awesome. It was so fun to have Zach and the team here leading worship. It's like I'm at home. Part of our worship team's here, and I'm here. And it's just so good to be here. I just want to say thanks again to Jay for inviting me to come share. You know, I was thinking about Jay and Kelly this morning, and my wife and I mean, some of you heard our story and, you know, how we moved here from California about, it'll be 2 years ago this April. And before that, my wife and I traveled full-time, sometimes on the road 10 to 14 days a month, ministering in churches, ministering in different regions, different nations, and really got to meet a lot of leaders. And I can honestly say that Pastor Jay and Kelly have some of the purest hearts that I have ever met. And so you just have such a gift in Jay and Kelly. Can we just thank God for Jay and Kelly? Just bless you guys. So appreciate you and your friendship. So, so good. And it's so good to see Charles and Marquita Patterson. Can we just thank God for them? Just mothers and fathers in this region. And I've just been really blessed to get to know Charles and Marquita since I moved here. And they are gold. And I believe you've ministered here. And he'll probably be back. So awesome. Well, you guys doing well? Yes. Last time I was here and ministered, I showed a picture of my baby girls, right? Did I show a picture of my girls last time I was here? They just turned one February 4th, 1 year old. Can you believe it? They just turned one. We had to postpone their birthday party. We just had a birthday party for them yesterday morning. We met at the park with some friends and their babies. I mean, our church has a ton of babies. Like, we are advancing the kingdom. Like talk about church growth. Jesus, or God said in the garden, be fruitful and multiply. Our church takes that very seriously. I mean, one Sunday evening, we had 250 people. We had a guest speaker. We had 250 people there, and 70 of them were children. So we are advancing the kingdom in a really, really real way. I mean, it's a great way to grow the church. So anyway, so I just released that anointing right now in Jesus' name. Some of you are going, I don't want that. Some of you are dodging that anointing, but it really is fun to be here. A lot of you might remember, I'm originally from Canada. East coast of Canada. By the way, my wife and I, pray for us, my wife and I and our girls are flying out at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning for the east coast of Canada. I just got notice that they're having a blizzard, so we might not make it. Pray that we do, or that United lets us postpone at no charge, you know, to reschedule our flight. So you can pray for us. Also, a lot of you know I'm from Canada and lived in California for six and a half years before moving here to be part of Kingdom Life San Antonio. But after being here for almost 2 years, Last night I went to my first rodeo. Yeah, my very first rodeo. It was an experience. Like when I moved to Texas, I saw a lot of bedazzle on people's jeans and like rhinestones, but the rodeo was next level. Like it was a whole other experience. But anyway, it was fun. We had a good time. But all right. Well, hey, one of the things that I want to do is I want to share a prophetic word that a lady in our church shared on New Year's Day at our Sunday evening service. Our church basically had a time of just extended worship and releasing prophetic words regarding what we really felt like God was saying for 2017. How many of you know that every time we come into a new year, we have an opportunity to believe God for incredible things? And how many of you know that because we serve an incredibly good God, we can expect every year to be our best year yet? The Bible says that we are called to go from glory to glory, strength to strength. So I want to share this prophetic word that wasn't really just for our house, but I really believe was for the region. I really believe was for the body of Christ at large. And she said this. She said, 2017 is the year of the Lord. I sensed him saying that we are on the threshold of entering a new era, not just a new season. An era in God's history with mankind that will be marked by promotions and upgrades in authority and more manifestations of his spirit. Does anyone want more of that? An era of restored identities, free of comparison, that bring ease and confidence and rest, empowered by true identity, and free to be the person he saw when he first had the idea of you. I love this. Warfare will become like Philippians 1:28, where your adversary knows he is doomed when he glimpses your peace. I sensed him saying that we will go from getting breakthrough to getting victory. It's a new normal in the kingdom. There has been resistance and opposition to us crossing the threshold, but it has given way because the gates of hell can't prevail against his church. Isn't that amazing? And just this one more part, prosper, a common thing to wish people in the new year, but the Lord has highlighted it to me and showed me some of his perspective. He wants to prosper our work, our pursuits, our gifts, our callings, our relationships, our identities, our destinies. Prosperity of the soul. He wants bodies, mindsets, and belief systems to prosper, emotions to prosper. He speaks prosper to our spirits in the year of the Lord. Can we just thank Jesus for that and just what he's doing in this? I really believe that this is a season of not just breakthrough, but of victory, where we walk in victory, really where we walk in the fullness of what Jesus bought for us 2,000 years ago. And I recently read an article in Forbes magazine that a friend sent to me, and it was an article about the whole region, the whole corridor, the 35 corridor from Austin to San Antonio. And in case you don't realize it, you're pretty much like right in the middle of that or close to it. And this article was so encouraging because it was saying that the whole I-35 corridor between Austin and San Antonio is really, these are secular studies are saying that it is becoming the next major metropolis of America. And the growth of job rates, of people moving here, of young families moving in, moving from California, moving from the East Coast, all these places. Because obviously for economic reasons, for lower cost of housing and job market and all of those practical things. But how many of you know that whenever something like that is put on the map, that God is up to something? And I really believe that it is a sign and is a kiss from the Father saying, I am getting ready to do something in this region that is way bigger than you realize. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, God's doing way more than you realize. It's bigger than we know. And I really believe, and I just want to declare prophetically that for this region, from Austin to San Antonio, the best is yet to come. That there is, I believe that there is going to be such a visitation of his spirit, and it's not just going to be one church, but it's going to be revival hubs all up and down the corridor, all over the region, working together with a kingdom network, if you will, that is facilitating a revival and breakthrough and awakening in this region. So let's just thank Jesus one more time for what he's doing here. I really believe that it is a season to get excited and filled with hope. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you. With all joy and peace in believing. Say in believing. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just declare upgrades in hope, upgrades in expectation, upgrades in waking up every morning saying, I don't know what's going to happen today, but it's going to be really, really good because I serve an amazing Father. So let's just shout Jesus one more time. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And I'm excited. So, all right. Well, Jay told me that I can go till 2 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. But I am going to jump in to a word that's on my heart. If you'll go with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 17. And if you hold that place, you can also go to Luke chapter 19, is where we're going to go next. Luke 19. And I'm just going to pray one more time. Father, we just say that we love you and we're grateful. And we're so thankful for just the fact that we can gather together in your name and encounter your presence. That we can get together and experience your presence on a corporate level and get encouraged and receive impartation. And Holy Spirit, you're already here, but I just ask that your manifest presence would increase. And I ask that you would release in this place a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 17, says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to read verse 18 one more time. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. One of the things that I love about the gospel, about the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, is you and I, when we became born again, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, became entirely new creations. A lot of you are familiar with that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You don't have to turn there, but it says, behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. We've become entirely new creations, completely different. That's a whole separate message in itself. But here's the tension of the gospel. The moment we got born again, we became transformed into an entirely new creation. But we're also being transformed from glory to glory. We have been transformed and we are being transformed. And Paul said in this text that we are specifically being transformed by beholding the glory of the Lord. And as we behold his glory, we're not just being transformed, but we are being transformed specifically into the same image that we're beholding, and that's the image of Jesus himself. You and I are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus himself as we behold him. And, you know, one of the things that I love to do just in my own relationship with God is I like to just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what books of the Bible are you breathing on for me right now? Like, I'm all about, reading through the Bible in a year and reading a chapter a day and all that. But I like to specifically say, Holy Spirit, where are you breathing on for me right now, personally? What's going to transform me? And lately, I've just been spending time in the Gospels and recently just read through the book of Luke. And right now, I'm working my way through John. And really, what I'm doing is, it's like in the Gospels, I'm beholding the person of Jesus all over again. And I'm just, as I'm just reading and just meditating on the life of Jesus, the way that he loved on people, the way that he extended grace, the way that he healed every person that came to him. Bill Johnson likes to say he ruined every funeral he went to. including his own, right? And as I'm reading the Gospels, it's like I'm getting a fresh revelation of the person of Jesus. And as I'm beholding him, I'm saying, God, that's what I want to become like. I want to be transformed into the same image of Jesus. Because here's the deal. I'm all about praying for revival, but I believe even more than revival, what we need is an awakening. And what we need is an awakening in our spirits of who it is that we're becoming. Because here's the deal. When the children of God start to really become like Jesus, entire cities are going to start to get transformed. When we start to be transformed into the image of Jesus, you will walk into a room and demons will just scream out of people, manifest and scream out of people because they're afraid of what you carry. What about being so transformed into the image of Christ that you just see people healed by mistake everywhere you go? Like we're so much like Jesus that we just walk past people and they get healed just because of the atmosphere. That's available to us. And it's by being transformed into the image of Christ that we become like that. But what I want to do this morning, just for the few minutes that we have, is I just want us to look at a few just examples of Jesus in the gospel, specifically the book of Luke, where we see Jesus manifesting what it is that you and I are becoming. And as we behold him, I believe that we're going to be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And real quick, I want to read just an account in Luke 19, starting in verse 1. And Luke 19, verse 1, it's the story of Zacchaeus. And we'll call him Zach, just in honor of our friend Zach who led worship this morning. No. All right. Luke 19, and starting in verse 1, it says this: Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, but could not because of the crowd. And he was of short stature. I can really feel for Zacchaeus here. Okay. Verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. I think it's interesting. The people that are complaining about Jesus going to be the guest of a quote-unquote sinner, it doesn't even mention their name. It just says, they complained. Ever notice that critics of revival are never remembered in history? Critics of moves of God aren't really recorded in the history books. It's the catalysts and those that embrace the move of God. Anyway, that one was free. Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I love this story, and it's really easy, like a lot of accounts in the Gospels, for us to read it and maybe gloss over it and miss some really, really important keys to what's happening here. One of the things that we need to understand is Zacchaeus wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. And a chief tax collector, or a tax collector for that matter, you need to understand, was a total reject and outcast from society. Romans would appoint Jewish people as tax collectors because they had a really good business sense. And basically, they would be considered outcasts from both their own people, the Jews, and the Gentiles themselves. Everybody completely shunned them, disowned them. In fact, historians tell us that when somebody accepted the position of a tax collector, their own family would conduct a mock funeral and say, we do not want to have anything to do with you anymore. It's as though we don't even know you. And it possibly where we got the phrase, you're dead to us. It's like, you don't even exist to us anymore. How many of you know Zacchaeus probably had some rejection issues? And this is going on, but Zacchaeus heard about Jesus and sees that Jesus is about to pass by, but he can't see him. And it says that he ran up ahead in front of the crowd, climbed the tree so that he could see Jesus. Next thing he knows, Jesus is coming by. Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, come on down from there and hurry up and do it because I have to stay at your house today. I believe Zacchaeus would have been freaking out, excited, probably nervous. He's like going to the rabbi's house. He's going to Jesus, the Messiah's house. And what's amazing is, as we just read, Jesus gets into the house. It doesn't even say that Jesus brought up Zacchaeus' sin issues, shortcomings, no pun intended there. But Zacchaeus, next thing we know, Zacchaeus says, Lord, if I give half of my possessions to the poor, if I have stolen anything from anyone, I restore it fourfold. Why? Because it's the radical grace and kindness of God that leads people to repentance. And as Jesus extended extravagant, radical, unfair faith and grace and mercy, what was Zacchaeus' response? Jesus, I give half my possessions to the poor. If I stole anything, what's he doing? He's repenting. The Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. By the way, when you guys do love New Braunfels, you are going to be extending the radical, no strings attached, love, grace of God. And I declare people are going to encounter the love of Jesus like never before. And they're going to be transformed by his love. Whoa. And Jesus just extends this grace. And it says Zacchaeus climbed the tree hoping to see Jesus. Little did he know Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. And Jesus says, come on down and come into my house. And he has a radical, life-altering encounter with the love and kindness of Jesus. And my question is this. What if we became intentional about just extending the radical love and grace of God everywhere we go? I recently read a story about an evangelist who was ministering in Hawaii. And when he landed in Hawaii, it was late at night, and it was about 3 a.m, and he actually couldn't sleep. Come back to his hotel, couldn't sleep. So he's like, I'm going to go get something to eat. So he went for a walk, and he's like, I'm going to look for just something that's open. And he comes across this dingy diner, and he walks in, and he orders a donut and a coffee, and he's sitting there, and he's having it, and there's not many people in the diner. Next thing he knows, these two ladies walk in, and they're loud, they're obnoxious, and they're dressed in such a way that he knows they just came in from working the street, if you know what I'm saying. They're prostitutes. And they come in and they're swearing and they're just kind of not a care in the world. And he overhears one of them mention that it's her birthday the next day. And then the other lady said, why are you telling me it's your birthday? What do you want me to do? Throw you a party? You want me to make you a cake? Sarcastically. And the other lady said, no, of course not. She said, nobody has ever thrown me a party or made me a cake. Why would I expect you to? Just really sad. And then this pastor waited for the ladies to leave, and then he went to the person that was working that night. He said, those ladies that just came in, do they come in here every night? And he said, yeah, they've come in every night for the last like 5 or 10 years. And then he had an idea. He said, would it be okay if I brought a team from the church that I'm ministering at tomorrow during the day, and we decorated this place with balloons, streamers, decked it out, and when they come in tomorrow night, we throw her a birthday party? He said, absolutely. So they get a team from the church, they come in, they decorate the place, streamers, balloons, all that stuff. Sure enough, like 3 a.m., these ladies walk in. They go, surprise! And this girl's totally shocked. They yell happy birthday to her. They start to love on her. They start to celebrate the day she was born. They start to throw a celebration for her. She's never experienced it in her life. Because she deserved it? No, but because the radical love of God manifests through his kids in extraordinary ways. And so she goes up to the pastor. She's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm a pastor, actually, and I'm ministering at this church. And she's like, what kind of church are you guys part of? And he just smiled and said, the kind that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3 a.m. And he got to pray for her. He got to love on her. They got to minister to her. And she encountered the radical grace and love of the Father that night in a way that she will never, ever, ever forget. And here's the deal. How many of you know she saw seen by God that night? Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, but little do you know that Jesus was seeking him. See, that's what I love about the prophetic, is it lets people know they're seen by the Father. It lets people know they're seen and loved by God. The other, like a week or so ago, I was working out at the gym. Can't you tell? No, I'm just kidding. And I was working out at the gym, and I was walking. I was just on my way leaving the gym. And I love to just be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And as I'm walking, down the stairs to head to the door to head out, this lady walks past me, and I just felt that prompting of the Holy Spirit, like, go encourage her, go talk to her. Oftentimes, God nudges me to go talk to somebody, and I have no idea what I'm going to say until I'm actually opening my mouth. I just trust the Lord. The Bible says, open your mouth, and I will fill it. So I just walk up to her, and I said, excuse me. I said, my wife and I are pastors in the area. I like to say my wife and I, so she knows I'm not hitting on her, you know. I'm like, my wife and I are pastors in the area. And sometimes God just gives me a word of encouragement for somebody, and I feel like I have one for you. Is it okay if I share it? I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10 or more, people say, sure. Like, even if they're humoring me, and like, I'm okay with that. It's still an open door. You know what I'm saying? And she said, sure. And I said, I feel like there's a gift of wisdom on your life and a spirit of counsel. People come up to you and they open up to you about what they're going through and they feel safe around you. That's about as much as I got out of my mouth. And she just starts laughing. So I know that I'm onto something. And I finished and I said, I just bless you with that in Jesus' name. She goes, I'm actually a counselor. And I said, that's amazing. I said, the Father must just want you to know today that you're on the right track, that you're walking what you're called to walk in, and his hand's on your life. Now, I don't even know if she knows Jesus. There's times where I'll get into that conversation and ask them if they know Jesus and all that, and go for it. I encourage you to do that. But there's also something about just sowing seeds of the love and kindness of God and letting people know they're seen by a good Father. Here's the deal. Most people out there that don't know Jesus, or those that do, already know that they have issues. They don't need us to confirm it. They don't need us to walk up and go, I feel like I have the word of the Lord for you. You have sin in your life. They're like, I could have told you that, you know? But what about just extending the radical love and kindness of God to people everywhere we go and allowing the kindness of God to just draw them into his heart? So Jesus just extended radical grace and forgiveness everywhere he went. The other thing that I noticed in the Gospels is this. Jesus had zero concern with what people thought about him. Jesus had no fear of man whatsoever. Like, in John 6, we read about Jesus teaching the crowds, and like, things are going well, his ministry's taken off. Like, when he did the whole like, feed 5,000 with a couple pieces of bread and fish thing, like, his ministry was going great. People are like, I'm following that guy, you know? And then next we know, in John 6, Jesus is teaching, and he's like, I have a new message for you. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in the kingdom. And people are like, They're like, can we do the fish and loaves thing again? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in the kingdom. And it says, and later on, it says, and from that point on, many of them followed him no longer. Jesus didn't go, wait. Guys, come back. Let me explain. It's like, how many of you know that's not a great way to grow a church? Like, people misunderstood him. They thought he was talking about cannibalism. Another time, Jesus was talking about how pretty soon he's not going to be with them any longer, and like, the disciples thought he was suicidal. He didn't like really even just take time to like explain himself. Like, Jesus wasn't super seeker sensitive. He just extended the kingdom, like, released heaven on earth. They're like, Jesus, we love the loaves and fish part. Eat your flesh, drink your blood. We're not cool with that. We're going to the church down the street. Peace out. He's like, it's all right. He's like, you guys would have bailed eventually anyway. But there was something about Jesus. Here's another thing. When Jesus spoke, people came alive on the inside. When Jesus spoke, how many of you know his words had incredible substance? But back to the fear of man thing. I might come back to that. God wants to break fear of man off of his children. Proverbs says, fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safety. God is breaking the fear, the addiction to man-pleasing, the addiction of needing to get man's approval, to be seen being just right. God is breaking that off of us. Coming into 2017, I felt prophetically like God said 2017 is the year of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, where the Lion of the Tribe of Judah is going to roar through his children like never before. It's that holy boldness welling up inside of us. Where we're just, we just, walk around in what I like to call the spirit of I don't care. And again, I'm not talking about we don't walk in love and sensitivity and all that, but let's not tiptoe around on eggshells trying to please everybody. How many of you know Paul said, if I was trying to please man, I couldn't be a preacher of the gospel. We need to be more concerned with what he thinks than what anyone else thinks. And God is breaking the chains of the fear of man off of people. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says that the righteous, first of all, it says this, the wicked flee, although no one's even pursuing. How many of you know that when you walk around in anxiety and worry, it's like you worry about things that aren't even happening? It says the wicked flee, though no one's pursuing them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I have a friend named Ben Fitzgerald in Redding, California, who just during school of ministry, he was already radical, but he got so set free from the fear of man. Once he got set free, I mean, he was scary to be around. One day he was in Redding, California. He was watching a movie, got inspired by the movie. At the end of the movie, stood up, preached the gospel to the entire movie theater, and 20 to 30 people made a decision for Jesus and got born again in the movie theater. Because he has no fear of man. You know, I tell young people, I used to be a youth pastor, and I'm like, guys, like, we're scared of persecution, but in America and in Canada, usually persecution means somebody, like, laughs at you, maybe rejects you, or, you know, doesn't, or says no. Like, we need to get over ourselves, and that God be God in and through us. There's people in third world nations that lose their head for preaching the gospel. We might get laughed at. Like, let's just go for it and be free from the fear of man. And I really believe that as we behold Jesus throughout the Gospels, when we start to see that he wasn't overly concerned with what people thought about him. The religious people misunderstood him all the time. And again, I'm not saying we don't walk in love and honor and stuff like that. When we're training people in outreach, we tell them, look, if you're in a grocery store and you have a word for somebody, or you want to pray for healing over them, and they're in like the line to pay for their stuff, let them finish. Let them conduct business. Like, honor them and honor the business, and then approach them in the parking lot. but with honor. I find the more I am free from the fear of man and I walk in boldness, but yet gentleness and honor, the more doors are just swinging wide open. And I'm having opportunities. I'm telling you, I have never seen people so hungry for Jesus on the streets like I do today. I've never lived anywhere where people were so open to the gospel. We have a tremendous opportunity here. I won't tell that story. I don't have time. I'll tell this one, though. I was in Australia ministering with Steve Backlund at a church called the New Earth Tribe. And as I'm ministering, as we're ministering at this church, they met in a high school gym, so they had to pack everything up. By 10 o'clock, we had to get out. It was a Friday night, so we went out. And I went out to a coffee shop with some of their young adults. And it's Schoolies Week in Australia. It was like their summer break. So there's young people, college students all over the streets. And this is like a hippie town, party town. And I'm just feeling the Holy Spirit stirring in me as we're sitting having our coffees. I'm like, I don't want to just go home and go to bed. I want to go get in trouble for Jesus somewhere. So we're walking to the car, and I turn to our host, and I'm like, can we just go walk around a little bit and see what happens? He said, totally. So our host, me, and one other student, we're walking, and we stopped in front of this bar where I saw a group of 20-some-year-olds. And I said, hey, and I was feeling just that boldness of the Holy Spirit, that spirit of I don't care. And I said, hey, does anybody here have pain in your body? I said, we're a group from California, and we pray for people. We see miracles. We see God heal people. I said, a lot of you have been to church. You've tasted a religion, but I'm talking about the reality of God manifesting through us. Do any of you have pain in your body? And just then, one of them goes, yeah, you were complaining about back pain earlier today. And I'm like, awesome, we'll pray for you. And then one of the young men on the streets, he's like, I'm a Christian too. I'm like, you're a Christian? He said, yeah. I'm like, awesome, you're going to pray for his back then. I thought I'll just equip the saints while I'm there too. So he's like, okay. So I said, take your hand and put it on his back. So he reaches over, puts it on his back. And I said, repeat after me, kingdom of God come. He said, kingdom of God come. I said, all pain go. He said, all pain go. Be healed in Jesus' name. He goes, be healed in Jesus' name. I said to the young man, try to do something you couldn't do. He bends over, he touches his toes. He straightens back up. His eyes get really big. And he drops the F-bomb. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you what happened. Sometimes that's what happens. When non-believers get healed, encounter, sometimes they cuss, and I'm like, I think it worked, you know? And he goes, holy blank, I haven't been able to touch my toes since I was blank and 12 years old. What did you just do to me? Can we just thank Jesus for that? And now, his name was Nick. Now he's instantly an evangelist. And I don't even think he's saved yet. And now his friends are walking by, and he's like grabbing them. He's like, come meet my friends. Come meet these guys that just healed my back. And now there's a small crowd gathered around, and we start prophesying over them. We start calling the gold out in them, not pointing out their sin, but saying, I see a gift of mothering people on you. I said, in fact, you're the mother in your group of friends. You're really loyal, aren't you? And all their friends are like confirming the word. They're like, that's totally you. And we're prophesying. We give them all a word. And then I said, do you guys want to know personally the Jesus who just spoke to all of you and just healed Nick's back? Do you want to ask him to come live inside of you right now? We can pray right now, and you can ask him to do that. And one of the young ladies goes, can we hold hands as we do that? I said, totally. So we're like in a circle of young adults, prayed that they would get born, they gave their life to Jesus, got born again, prayed that they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Just because of one step of faith, of shaking off the fear of man and stepping out and saying, hey, can I pray for you? You might say, well, what if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed? Well, what if they do? And it's too big of a risk not to take risks. And I've seen people encounter the love of God just because I was willing to step out and pray for them. And maybe they didn't even get healed on the spot. But just because I took the time to love on them. And here's the deal. We're not out just looking for testimonies and miracles. We're looking to demonstrate the love of the Father, that people would have encounters with the love of Jesus. So God is breaking the fear of man off of people. The last thing that I'm going to share is this, and I'll close with this. When we look at the life of Jesus through the Gospels, we start to understand that every single place he went, he destroyed the works of the devil. He was always healing the sick, always setting free the oppressed, always setting depressed people free, healing all who are oppressed by the devil. And then in John 14, he said this, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. And even greater works, say greater works, because I go to the Father. Something we need to understand about the life of Jesus in the Gospels is this. When Jesus went about doing miracles, casting out demons, setting free the oppressed, he wasn't just doing that to prove that he was God. He was doing it to show men and women what is available to a man or woman fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that Jesus in the Gospels did what he did. He was fully God, but he was also fully man, and he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's important that we don't just look at the life of Jesus and go, of course he did that. He's God. Yeah, he is God, but he was also came as a man dependent on the Holy Spirit to show you and I what's available. Remember back in the 90s when people wore the What Would Jesus Do bracelets, WWJD? I just got saved in 94 and people started wearing those, and I was like, I didn't really like them. I thought they were a little cheesy. But what if every situation we encountered, we actually asked ourselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? Somebody comes into work complaining that they have a headache. What would Jesus do? He would heal them. I remember working in an office. I was bivocational when I worked in Canada, and I was working in a customer service office building, and I was part-time at the church, part-time there. And I just practiced this. I'm sitting at my computer. One of my coworkers was walking by, and I heard her say, oh, I have such a bad headache. I was on the phone with the customer. I hit mute. I had chairs on wheels, so I pushed myself, like I slid over to her, and I said, be healed in Jesus' name, and I just slid back. And I went back to my phone call. I knew her. I had some relationship with her. Like, she let me do stuff like that. And later on, she's like, Chuck, thanks for praying. I feel totally better right now. What would Jesus do? Somebody walks in and they're walks into your workplace, or you see someone you know at the post office and they're just saying that they're having a horrible day, and they're just, maybe they're feeling some anxiety. What would Jesus do? He would minister peace to them. He would just say, hey, is it okay if I just pray for you? And we could just release the peace of God over them. Everywhere we go, we are called to be like Jesus. And I believe that as we behold what Jesus lived out through the Gospels, we don't just behold it from a distance and say, that's amazing, he did that because he was God. But we look at it and say, okay, that's what I'm becoming. I'm extending radical grace everywhere I go. I'm being set free from the fear of man. And I'm destroying the works of the devil everywhere I go. I'm going to tell one more story. I was in Tepic, Mexico with a team, and we were doing ministry on the beach, because when you're in Mexico, you may as well minister on the beach, right? So we're walking up and down the beach, and we saw a couple people come to know Jesus. Next thing I know, we're walking past this big stage. It was spring break at the time. There's a big stage, and it's a cell phone company that has a little kiosk where they're selling their product, and there's like multi-music or multimedia screens, and there's dancers, and it's like this big beach party just to sell their product. And I half-jokingly turned to my leader as we're walking on the beach, and I said, we should go ask them if we can use their sound system to call out words of knowledge for healing on the beach. And my friend, who is also our leader, is Puerto Rican and super intense, and he got that look in his eye, you know. He goes, yeah, let's do it. Next thing I know, he grabbed our translator, and he's heading toward the stage. And he's heading toward the stage, and he's praying for wisdom. He's like, God, who should I talk to? See somebody who looks like they're in charge? And he goes, excuse me, and he approached him. And the spirit of, this is the spirit of wisdom right here. He said, excuse me, my name's Chris, and I have a team with me from all over the world, and we're a team of miracle workers. And we were from all over the world. There's people from Europe, New Zealand, Canada, United States, all over. And he's like, we're a team of miracle workers, and God actually does miracles through us. And I just want you to know that we're willing to offer our services for your event today for free if you're interested. And the guy looks at his watch, and he goes, can you come back at 4 o'clock? He said, totally. So we gather the team together, we go have lunch, we come back, the guy in charge goes, it's all yours, my crew and I are going to get dinner, you can have the stage, the sound system, the microphone, for the next hour and a half, we'll be back in an hour and a half. So we're like, we are getting set up right now. So we grab our translator and we're like, go up on the stage and tell the beach, and there's people all over the beach, go get up and tell the beach that we're miracle workers, and if they need healing in their body to come to the platform, somebody will pray for them. So he gets up, and he's like, I've never done this before. And we're like, it's okay, neither have we. Just get up there. And so he gets up and tells the entire beach, there's miracle workers here. If you need healing in your body, come to the stage. People just start coming up to the front. Crowd starts forming in front of the platform. And there's about 15 of us and two translators. Most of us don't speak Spanish, so we're fighting over translators. And I'm just kind of going from group to group, observing what's happening. And I go up to this one group, and I'm like, what's happening? And they said, we're praying for his dislocated shoulder, but it's not healed yet. And I just felt such a grace to lead people to Jesus. And I just said, hey, I said, do you want to ask Jesus to come live inside of you and be your Lord? And he goes, see. I'm like, awesome. I just asked him. Imagine that. Just ask somebody if they want to be born again. And I prayed, and I said, you want to ask Jesus into your heart? He said, yeah. He prayed with me through the translator, got born again. And then I said, hey, repeat after me. Jesus, I received my healing. He's in Spanish, he said, through the translator, I received my healing. I said, lift your arm. He couldn't even move it before. He lifts it up higher and higher. His eyes get really big. Tears come down his cheek. He starts jumping up and down. And then he heads straight for the platform. Asks for the microphone and says, Jesus just healed my shoulder. Now, how many of you know there's power in the testimony? And as soon as he released the testimony, miracles just started popping. Just all over this crowd of people. And in an hour and a half, we saw 50 to 60 people physically healed and born again give their life to Jesus. And then the guy that got healed, his shoulder, he like grabbed me and wanted me to meet his friends and family who were like under this tent having a party down the beach. So he like takes me down there. I grab a translator. We go down. And he introduces me to his friends and family. There's about 17 of them gathered around. And I'm like, you know this guy? They're like, see. I'm like, Jesus healed his shoulder. They're like, see. I go, do you want to know the same Jesus that healed his shoulder? See. So it was as simple as that. And right there, they all prayed a corporate prayer with me, got born again, 17 to 20 people more, right there under the tent. I have a really encouraging word for you. The gospel is really, really powerful. And it's not up to how well you articulate it. It's not how much you fasted and prayed that week. Not that that stuff isn't important. But here's the deal. We need to trust the anointing and not our own ability. Because God loves people out there more than we could ever imagine. And if we will just take steps of faith and extend the radical nature of Jesus, extending radical love and grace to people, kindness, allowing his kindness to lead them to repentance, being set free from the fear of man, just not caring what people think. Who cares if people, what if you just start to step out in your high school, people start getting healed, and all of a sudden people want what you have, and you spark a revival in your high school that this region has never seen. I'm telling you, Jesus can turn entire high schools and college campuses upside down through a few catalytic people that will take God at his word. And extending his extravagant grace. being set free from the fear of man, and destroying the works of the devil everywhere we go. Let's just all stand where we are. Whoa. Ha, ha, ha. God's good, isn't he? I'm telling you, I'm excited about what God's doing in this region. I believe that God is up to something here, and you know, Charles, Jay, and a group of us leaders have been meeting together and just dreaming with God and believing God for extravagant awakening and revival and breakthrough in this whole region. And I'm telling you, if we will just believe God, it's going to happen. So let's do this. Let's just stretch our hands out like this, like we're going to receive something from heaven. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would release all over this room a fresh anointing and grace. God, I pray that you would release a fresh anointing and grace to extend your love and your extravagant grace everywhere we go. I ask, Father, that you would just set people free from the fear of man. Just that fear that holds us back, God. Because we know courage isn't the absence of fear. It's just not allowing fear to stop us. It's stepping past it and trusting you. So I pray that you would break that off right now in the name of Jesus. In fact, if that's you, you say, you know what? I've been walking around with the fear of man and I want to be free. I just want you to raise your hand where you are. Just take a step of faith. And Father, to every person that has their hand raised, I declare freedom over them right now. Freedom from the fear of man. We just break it off of them right now in the name of Jesus. I declare whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I declare over you, you are the righteousness of God, and the righteous are as bold as a lion. So I just release fresh boldness and courage, God, to just let the lion of the tribe of Judah flow through them like never before in the name of Jesus. Now just put your hand on the person beside you and say, God, anoint them to destroy the works of the devil. Just pray out loud. Release a fresh anointing and grace for them to destroy the works of the devil everywhere they go. More, Lord. More of your presence. I pray that you would release gifts of healing into people's hands. I pray that you would release a breaker anointing, God, even over the young people, for their schools, for their college campuses, everybody for their workplace. Anointing, grace, and power, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. Amen, amen, amen. Let's just thank Jesus. Real quick, just stay standing just for a minute. There's a couple people that God's touching. There's somebody, God is touching somebody's right shoulder. You came in with right shoulder pain, that's you. Somebody just put their hand on this precious lady back here. We just release fire into your shoulder right now in the name of Jesus. As they're praying for her, God's touching somebody's wrist. Somebody that came in with carpal tunnel, could be arthritis in the wrist, and it also goes into the hand. Who is that? Wrist and hand. That's you right beside her. I just release fire over your wrist and hand right now in the name of Jesus. And God's touching some people's backs right now. You came in with back pain. If that's you, just raise your hand where you are. Any type of back pain. And the rest of you, look around. If somebody has their hand up, just put your hand on them. We say backs be healed and restored right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for it. In your name. Just real quick, test it out. Try to do something you couldn't do. Move your shoulder. Move your back. See what's happening. What's happening? Zero pain. Let's thank Jesus for that. What's happening right here? What's that? Feels better? Come on, let's thank Jesus. And these backs, what's happening back here? Any breakthrough? All right, just keep thanking the Lord for that. Let's just thank Jesus one more time. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Here you go, Jay.
So why don't you go and pray with me, and then our Alta ministry team, if you need to continue prayer, we have our miracle workers that are up here. You can be prayed with. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, and I just say that you would seal up what you've been releasing into our hearts this morning, Lord God. Have your way in greater measure, and we need to declare it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. You guys have a wonderful afternoon.